This is Food First Michigan on 760 WJR. Sponsored by the Food Bank Council of Michigan, creating a food secure state, and by Farm Bureau Insurance of Michigan. Now here are your hosts, Dr. Phil Knight and Jerry Brisson.
Welcome everyone, and thanks for listening. Julie Yurko is the CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank. She is an inspiring leader, influencer, and molder of consensus among a national audience of her peers. Julie is leading the efforts to bring the massive efforts of America's food banks into greater alignment to have more and better lasting impact. Feeding America is the nation's largest charity and the United States' largest response to hunger within our 50 states and Puerto Rico. We have 200 food banks, 22 state associations, tens of thousands of agency partners that together create a network so far-reaching that collectively we serve every county in America. Every county. Rather than being a loosely confederated organization where each is doing their own thing their own way, we are taking our independence and choosing to create an interdependent strategic framework that helps focus our efforts to address hunger in America, all across America. This is a difficult challenge, but one that is being handled with grace, focused intentionality, but one that isn't too prescriptive to all of us who make up the Feeding America Network. The result, we believe, will be greater alignment rooted in core values of placing families facing hunger at the center of our decision-making, and the result being a national effort to address the daily needs of people facing hunger. Feeding America's strategic framework and what it means for families facing hunger here in Michigan with our extraordinary guest, Julie Yurko, is next on this edition of Food First Michigan. Welcome back, everyone. As promised, Jerry Brisson sitting across from me in our WJR studio. Jerry, great to see you.
Always a pleasure, Doctor.
You and our guest have known each other for some time, so I'm going to extend to you a rare privilege of you having the opportunity to introduce our guest.
Well, Julie Yurko is the president and CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank, which is one of the 200-plus food banks in our national network of food banks. But she is so much more than that. She is a lively, energetic, exciting, smart, capable. I could just keep adding adjective after adjective.
Compassionate too, because she's our friend.
But I mean, it does suggest maybe a lack of sensitivity, because you know you have to be a little insensitive to be our friend, right? But all that to say, we are so delighted to have Julie with us today. She is leading an 18-month process to create a strategic framework for all of us food banks in the country. We just had our national conference where we did more work to that end of really trying to get everybody pulling together, if you think about it that way, you know. So we're at those banks of oars, 200-plus of us, and we want to pull that boat forward. And Julie has done an amazing job of working with a team of people to help us do that. So, Julie, welcome to the show. We are delighted to have you.
Thank you both. It is so good to be here. One of my favorite things to do is to laugh. And so hanging out with you two, there's always lots of laughter and joy. So it is my privilege.
Well, it's great to have you. And Julie, I guess what we'd like for you to do in this first segment is tell us, how does someone of your immense talent end up being the CEO at the Northern Illinois Food Bank? Because your work background is just absolutely fascinating. And another thing that you and Jerry have in common is obviously a love for music.
That's true. That is true. You know, I consider myself quite fortunate, truly blessed in being able to do the work that I do here at Northern Illinois Food Bank with a tremendous team and so many amazing stakeholders. My journey here, this is unexpected for me to be sitting in this chair. My journey started, I would say, back when I was in college. And at the time, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I had very kind, I still have very kind, generous parents. And when I said, well, why don't I go get a cello degree? They were like, sure, great idea. So I have a cello degree, a cello performance degree. About halfway through my college career, I went to Northern Illinois University in DeKalb. I realized there was no way I was going to be a cellist for the rest of my life. Didn't necessarily have the talent, but certainly wasn't there's a bit of a nomad's life in being a professional musician. I didn't have that. So I decided to get a business minor. And I was a part of an honors program at the university. And so I was working with a professor. And at the time, there was no arts administration or nonprofit management degree. And so we kind of created one on the fly. And so when I graduated, I said, I want to go work for nonprofits, hopefully one in music, and started cold calling and got to spend the first 4 years of my career at Brookfield Zoo here in Chicago and then at what is now Lurie Children's Hospital, all in fundraising. I'm a professional beggar. And then when I was at Lurie's, a job opened up at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And so I went and worked in fundraising for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra for 11 years. At each of those organizations, I was able to work on capital campaigns. And so I helped raise funds to build an animal hospital. I helped raise funds to build a medical research center. And then I helped raise funds to create Symphony Center, which was the expansion and renovation of Orchestra Hall and the creation of a whole lot more for the orchestra and classical music here in Chicago. At the symphony was when I became a mom, and I'm a mom of four beautiful children. I'm a mom through biology and also through adoption. And at the symphony, when my third child came home, and at that point, two of my three children had some special needs, still do, I realized doing it all was going to need to be put on hold so I could really focus on getting my children the services that they needed. And so I stayed home for almost 5 years. And when I talk about being blessed, right, like what a blessing to make that choice. It was in 2009. I had been home for over 4 years, and we had just brought home our fourth child, my beautiful little girl. I have three sons and a daughter. And at that point, my husband, through no fault of his own, it was the Great Recession, he lost his job. And single income family, four kids, like we were stretching every dollar. Yeah. We were stretching every dollar. I'm the daughter of a very frugal tax lawyer. He knows we tease him about it. I was raised with, it's not in the budget. It's not in the budget, Julie. So I knew how to stretch dollars, and we did a really good job stretching dollars. But after a few months with no income coming into the home, a baby, I put the kids on free and reduced lunch. They were on the public health care. We were stretching every dollar. I realized I had to go back to work. And I reached out to some friends, and one of them sent me a job to help raise money to build a new food bank at Northern Illinois Food Bank. And I had not heard of the food bank, but it was close to home. And I applied for that one job, and I got that one job. And that's how I ended up being here at Northern Illinois Food Bank. After a few years, I was promoted. After another couple of years, my predecessor said, Jules, you could do this job. And I said, what are you talking about? I had literally taken that. I'm like, what? I had taken this job, you know, at the food bank to feed my family.
Right.
Yeah.
I had taken the job because we had no income and we had all the fear. And thankfully, after about 9 months, my husband did get a job. But we were still, right? Like we were already stretched. And so then we were really stretched. And I was like, I'm just here, you know, to provide for my family. And this wonderful gentleman, Pete Schaefer, said, no, you could do this job. You would be very, very good for this organization. And so when he chose to leave, he recommended me to the board, but the board said, we're going to do a national search. And thankfully, through lots of blessing, I got the job. And so that's how I got here. And when I'm passionate about this work, it's because I have lived where many of our families are living, particularly here in the suburbs of Chicago, where something happens through no fault of your own, and you find yourself in a really frightening place. And you need some help. And the truth of the matter is when I was in that period of time, I understood the government benefits because people had said, like, go do this, go do this. I never went to a food pantry. I didn't even think of it. It wasn't part of my lexicon.
Right.
Right? There was a food pantry 3 blocks from my church.
Right.
Never thought of going. No one ever told me to go. So when you all hear me talking about the charitable food experience and wanting to make sure that families understand that it's there and that it's going to be an honoring, dignified, helpful, convenient experience for them, like, I'm super passionate about it because that could have really helped me during my time of need. And I wanted to help other moms and dads and seniors and kids out there. Very, very passionate about it.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. We sometimes say, you know, there's no particular face of hunger. Another way to say it, though, is hunger has all faces. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you just don't know who's hungry, and it's not something people want to talk about, you know. And even the fact that you didn't know where the food pantry was or how to access it maybe is more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I think people want to be in denial about that. And our general experience is people wait too long to get help. So mm-hmm. it's something we're always working on, right? Trying to make sure that we're making systems better for people. And of course, that's why we're building a strategic framework. Right? Because yes. That's the whole point of it.
Well,
yes.
It is.
I mean, your story underscores how we can't just do more. We have to do more and better, because there are still people that would need access that don't have access for a lot of different reasons. So what a amazing story. And again, thank you for sharing such a deep part of your own life.
I deeply appreciate it, Julie, and I'm gonna stop Jerry over here for a minute, and we're gonna take a break so that we can come back and you can tell more of your story and how that's helped drive this strategic framework and the values that you've lived and created, and that now we're all sharing. She's Julie Yurko. She is the CEO for the Northern Illinois Food Bank. That's Jerry Brisson. I'm Dr. Phil Knight. The three of us are back with you in just a moment.
Contact the Food Bank Council of Michigan at fbcmich.org. Now back to more Food First Michigan with Dr. Phil Knight and Jerry Brisson.
Welcome back, everyone. Dr. Phil Knight here, Jerry Brisson with me in the studio, but most importantly, our guest, Julie Yurko, the CEO for the Northern Illinois Food Bank. And Julie, I'm not sure what your title is, but I'm going to say chief, you know, cat herder or something so eloquent, because you have really been the face and the leader. And I know you've had this tremendous team both in and outside of Feeding America to help us carve out a strategic framework that will create positive momentum so that we can truly address hunger and the root causes of it, the conditions that hold it in place. And we all live and work for the day when hunger finally comes off the table. Jerry, you've got the strategic framework in front of you. I'm going to throw this over to you.
You know, I think probably the place to start is why now? Why are we doing this now? What makes now the moment to pull a strategic framework together for all of us 200-plus food banks and our affiliate food banks, and there's another 75 or 80 of those, and then the thousands of partners that we have? Here we go. Why now?
I believe the why now is because we have been on a journey of learning and believing in that we are better together as a network. And so we have gone through some contract negotiations and other projects of the network. And now we're saying, let's look at the mission that we all care so deeply about. And let's figure out how, if we lock arms, that we can create more evolutionary and transformational change to serve the person feeding who's facing hunger.
Yeah, that's been my experience too, and I like the way you've said it. You know, you have to get to a point, right? You got to go through a process to do something big. And we have become, as a network, the single largest charitable effort in the country with Feeding America, right? So so when you get to that point, you're not just running by the seat of your pants anymore. You actually have to do professional things, right? Which for, you know, for me in my life, that's something I had to learn.
I think you're so right, right? We have reached this point in our evolution, right? In our maturity as a network, and we're saying, okay, hold the phone. We've got amazing things happening across this network, but they might, well, we actually call them bright spots. Like, they're bright spots that are happening, but we're not capturing all that and looking at that in its entirety for how we can make meaningful progress together. So let's take the time to figure out where we're all aligned, where we have the most kind of power behind this work so that we can get us there faster. Because like you said, we want hunger to be in the rearview mirror in America.
Better together. It's in our charter of you know, how we start to describe our values. And when we talk about locking arms, we're not just talking about food banks anymore. We're really talking about starting with locking arms with the community that we serve, because the people we serve are amazing. They have important stories to tell and experience to offer this that can help us make this both more and better. And so when I look at the values of the charter, neighborhood centricity, equity, and better together, it really is described well in that locking arms concept, that the more we can be, you know, expanding that group of people, the more influence and significance we'll be able to pull together. So how did you come up with it? How did those three things rise to the top?
Well, we did a lot of listening, to be real. Much of this process is about going out and looking at all the stakeholders that are supporting hunger within our network and saying, let's listen to what's most important to whether it's a food bank CEO or a neighbor facing food insecurity or an agency who is providing food through their food pantry or a hospital partner who's helping us get medically tailored boxes out to their patients. We went out and we listened. And we said, so what's most important to you? Where do you think we're going to be better together? What are the challenges we're facing? And as we had those conversations, all of those wonderful stakeholders, they told us, focus on neighbor centricity, equity, and better together. Embrace those as your values.
And so I will say, you know, it's coming down to three is so hard, right? Because there's so many words you could use to talk about this work and the impact that it has on the ground and even to honor the people who are in it. And I was just so impressed that the three pieces, again, neighborhood centricity, thinking about our neighbors first and that their lives need to be changed for the better for this to make any sense. And equity, we don't want to leave anybody behind, right? Everyone has to be helped who needs help. And we have to do that together. I felt like there was a lot of wisdom in those are the three that we picked to anchor everything else around. It was an amazing thing to watch happen.
I'm glad to hear you say that. And that shows the wisdom of our network, right? The answers are there. We just have to figure out how to take the time. And I believe we have. We have actually extended the period. This was originally going to be a year process. We extended it to 18 months. We talked for weeks about how are we going to engage all of these stakeholders. And I believe we've got a really good recipe because if we can capture that wisdom in all things, not just the values, but also in the priorities and also in the actions, we will make a meaningful difference.
You know, Julie and Jerry, I've spent a good part of my adult career working cross-culturally. I lived and worked in throughout East Africa and been all around the world. Jerry knows all this. What you just said, Julie, I think is key and paramount, is that FANO, the Feeding America National Organization, and those leading this task force did not talk first. They listened. I've gone into villages in East Africa, mud huts, grass roofs. you can look and see in a nanosecond what's needed. You need industry. You need job opportunities. You need training. You need schools. You need clean water. You need pit latrines. You need the basics of life. But when people have the opportunity to tell me that, rather than me just start in on something, right? Now it's, we're doing this together. It's not an up, you know, top down or even a bottom up. It's a side by side. And I think that's the best way. And that's what struck me in this process, is that no one was telling anyone what to do from the top or the bottom. We were listening to one another all the way through and say, wow, that's great. I want my organization to do some stuff like that. That's really cool. It's having tremendous impact in people's lives. And I think that's been the coolest thing about this. I mean, because, you know, this network is made up of, you know, some, you know, oh, let me be careful here. Entrepreneurial.
He's looking right at me, and he's saying, "I better not say what I'm looking at." Yeah. That's what just happened right there.
A lot of entrepreneurial spirits. How's that one? How's that one?
Good.
AKA stubborn.
Can I throw in passionate?
There you go.
All right. Let's get it back positive.
Whether it's
here.
A board member or one of my team members or a volunteer on the floor. This is heart and soul work, and people come with passion for the work. And when they want to be heard, it's because they care so deeply. And I'll tell you, we have sometimes in our history, we have done two, right? Two people. We are, like you said, Dr. Phil, we're going to go in and we're going to tell you what we think you need. Mm-hmm. And this process is about with.
Yes.
Let's define this with, because we're not going to, whether it's a committee going out to the network or a national office, or we're not going to do it to you. We're going to do it with you.
Right.
Because that's going to get buy-in. That's going to make us wiser. Right. And that's going to move us faster. And that's what we're all about.
And you know, if Jerry had realized how important prepositions were, he would have really paid more attention in school.
There's so many things to say about that. I will say, and I do like this idea of how passion drives change, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that that feeding our hungry neighbors makes a difference. We know just that piece makes a difference. But we've also learned by working with people that it's not just feeding our hungry neighbors that makes a difference. It's looking at what are the things in our world that just aren't fair, that need to be better, right? How do systems create these repetitive poverty issues, and how do we fix that too? And so we're looking at this holistically with our neighbors, not at them.
I'm gonna hold you right there, because that's a great segue to the next segment. Julie Yorko, the CEO for the Northern Illinois Food Bank, is our guest. That's Jerry Brisson. I'm Dr. Phil Knight. Y'all come back and be with us. We're going to be right here.
Food First, Michigan. Once again, here's Phil and Jerry.
Welcome back, everyone. Jerry Brisson, Dr. Phil Knight here with you in our WJR studio. Our guest, Julie Yurko, the CEO for the Northern Illinois Food Bank and the network leader for our strategic framework. And Julie, you had a great team. You've had a lot of people come alongside of you. But man, when we were in our most recent conference, there seemed to be such great positive momentum. Didn't you feel that, Jerry?
Without a doubt. I mean, it was electric. And as we were in between sessions and just talking with each other, people just kept saying, oh, this is, you know, my food bank fits this. I can see myself in this work. I know that what I'm doing is going to contribute to this greater movement to create food security in the country. I mean, people were just electric and alive about it. So you know, coming off, that's easy to get into that energy, but How did you see, feel, believe that we made progress and really are moving towards something bigger and better?
Yeah, I too was quite honestly relieved. I was relieved to see folks embracing embracing the framework and the progress we have made over the last year, because we have been trying so hard to listen and respond to all of the voices, including the voices of, are you really going about this the right way, which were good questions to be asked to us? Are you really defining what the outcomes are going to be? So I was relieved. I was relieved that people of our network are starting to see the framework and feel that the framework is reflecting what they have told us. Excitement, there are a couple of things I'm super excited about. We have 5 priorities, and those priorities embrace the spectrum of solving to ending hunger, or however you want to describe it. We want to feed people today. We want to help get them resources and benefits so that their tomorrows are better. And we want to address the reasons that they are there in the first place, right? The root causes of food insecurity. And that is reflected across the network priorities within this framework. And I think that's a real moment for this network, for us to say we go from feeding to ending hunger for Feeding America. Would you agree with that, Jerry? Did you see that in the framework, and did you feel that from your food bank perspective?
So I think I have probably always believed that to some degree, you know, but what was mm-hmm. different for me was actually having the language that says what it is in a very inclusive and very clear way. To say, yeah, we all do a lot of things. You know, we say if you've seen one food bank, you've seen one food bank. But there's only mm-hmm. some truth in that, because there is another truth, which is all of us food banks are trying to accomplish greater food security in our communities and are very focused mm-hmm. on getting that done. Well, how do you take all these 200, you know, plus CEOs and teams to come up with, and here's how we can say what it is we're trying to do, and then let's start looking at, when we do it together, can we have a greater impact? Can we move the needle further? Mm-hmm. And I think this is the first time that we have had that. We've had things that we could say, well, we have maybe a big goal that we want to try to hit, like reaching a certain threshold in the number of mm-hmm. people served or how much food we're doing. But this is really the first time we've said, nope, you know what? We have these core values and these key areas that we need to have influence. And if we focus on this, we're going to do more than what our individual food banks could do alone. That's a big moment. That's a huge moment.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we were so grateful to have board members from food banks there, as well as executive team members. And so not only were we talking with the CEOs at our conference last week, but we brought in those voices and helped kind of spread the word that this is what we're thinking and where we're heading. And the framework we're hoping that will be applicable to all of our individual organizations as well as the network. And so the second thing that I'm really excited about is that as we are identifying strategic actions to go under the network priorities, some of those will be led by a national office. But some of those are going to be led by a food bank or a cohort of food banks. And we can all decide how we work on some of these things together. It doesn't have to be nationally led. And I think that's an acknowledgement to how the 200 food banks, that's an innovation lab happening across America every day.
Yeah.
And the national office is an office that can do particular things like federal advocacy really, really well, or they can lift up some of the bright spots, but they can't do it all. And I was encouraged coming out of last week because I had conversations with groups of food banks saying, well, how do I know that this is going to be one of those top, strategic actions? I was like, you don't have to know. Like, if this is something you care deeply about, start your cohort and get it going. Because once you all get it going, like, you can be the leaders and the rest of us can learn from and hopefully join with you when we are ready at our individual organizations.
So, Julie and Jerry, there's another layer to our Feeding America organization, and it's Partner State Association. So in Illinois, the great Steve Erickson is in the leadership position there for the state of Illinois. Here's what the reaction to the strategic framework was from the 22 different partner state association. You ready?
Ready.
About time. Because, so from our standpoint, we have seen the potential and the possibility of how we could address the conditions that hold hunger and poverty even in place. And we know that it's going to take systems change, and that's going to take policy initiatives, and that's going to take a lot of advocacy. And so that's where we work most of our time and effort. So when we started to hear this, yes, it is about getting food to the people who need it today, and that cannot be devalued or discounted at any level. But at the same time, we want to address the systems that are not meeting the need in people's lives. And we were like the choir, I'm telling you. We were singing right along with y'all, but we're so excited because we think the policy agenda for Feeding America could be so much more and do so much more rather than just advocate for, you know, food sourcing, so to speak, but to really address systems change within the entire network, whether it be federal or state or even community-based. So the reaction out of the Partner State Association was nothing but applause, and let us come alongside of you guys as well as we do this work.
And I think we're going to see those kinds of coalition building, but also transformational changes. And the approach, and then the outcomes. And, you know, it's funny because when we think of the solving to ending hunger spectrum, we've been talking a lot about, you know, are there foundational, core, transformational? And I said, within all of those areas, there is transformational work to be done. And what we need to figure out is how do we just keep moving forward together?
Yeah.
Right? We are a network of action.
Yeah.
For those of us that run food banks, it's trucks and food and everything's moving at all times, right? Like we like to go and we like to go fast. And I said, if we can just keep taking these steps together and keep our eye on where we want to end, and that's going to be like, that's not necessarily coming out of this framework, but it's the vision of an America where no one is hungry, right? It's not necessarily going to be a number, like you said, Jerry. But if we can keep doing that, we are going to have so much. We're going to harness the power we already have in a way that's so much more impactful.
Well, I like that.
We are at a really pivotal moment, and we are so grateful to have your leadership helping us get there and to keep us, you know, moving in the way that we need to move. Thank you for, you know, spending your time and effort making us both more and better. We really appreciate it, Julie, and we're honored to have you on our show today.
Well, thank you. It is my honor and privilege to be leading the work, and believe it or not, it's even my honor and privilege to be with you two today.
Yeah. Well, there'll be a lot of people shocked
of
to hear that.
Right. Certainly two of my favorites. Always have been.
We're going to take a listener poll and see if people really believe that. But anyway.
It is true. I adore you both.
So, Julie, we're going to have you back too. Is this momentum progresses across the nation and across the network? She's Julie Yurko. She is the president and CEO of Northern Illinois Food Bank, but she has been leading a strategic framework process for the entire Feeding America National Network. And she's been our guest today, and she'll be our guest again in the near future. Jerry and I are back in just a moment to wrap up this edition of Food First Michigan. Welcome back, everyone. Time to wrap up this show. Jerry, Julie Yurko, strategic framework. Kind of a heady conversation today.
Well, sometimes it's good to be reminded of all the pieces that it takes when you really want to have a food secure community and a food secure Michigan. And one of the advantages we have is the Feeding America National Office, and all of the other food banks. I liked how Julie talked about this being an innovation laboratory, right? Yeah. Happening everywhere all over. But the only way to capture that stuff is to get together and talk and discuss and debate and put things on the table. And I think, you know, what's been happening in this last year is what progress looks like. And even if it might be like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What is it? We're all doing that. But we're getting more focused on what it all means. And in this coming year, we're going to come back to this several times and talk about how feet on the ground implementation of this framework really looks. But I guess to just say, to start with real passion and energy for making a difference for our hungry neighbors and all the ways that has to happen is what I hope this show conveyed.
Well, I think, too, it should communicate to folks that we talked about in between segments here, that here is a national organization with all of these members, 200 food banks, 22 different state associations, tens of thousands of network partners, and we're trying to get into alignment with one another so that we can have the greatest impact for the families that we serve. And I don't think every nonprofit is doing that. And I'm proud to be a part of this process.
As am I. And I will say, we are linking arms from the left to the right and everything in between. And that's not seen enough. You know, we truly appreciate each other's point of view and push each other to think more and better and to think deeper and broader. And you need that dialogue in order for us to be successful.
So here's a little food for thought. I'm convinced that healthy things grow. Healthy kids grow, healthy organizations grow, healthy communities grow. And Feeding America, the nation's largest response to hunger in America, is growing, but not like you think. It isn't necessarily about our bottom line, our financial outlook, or the size of our operation. That isn't the growth that we mean. We are growing in the areas of our business that truly matter: impact, influence, and intentional focus. We are learning how to come alongside one another, to do more together, to do more of what we are exceptional at, and partner with people, organizations, and other influencers to address the conditions that hold hunger in place. We are growing in our impact, influence, and intentional focus of our efforts. For us in Michigan, this started with putting food first, folks. Food first. And now is catching on nationwide.
Food First Michigan, presented by Farm Bureau Insurance of Michigan and by the Food Bank Council of Michigan, creating a food secure state.